The scripture lesson for this morning, is taken from the book of Romans, chapter 14, verses 1 through 7, and your bulletin says 19 through 22, but I'd like to start us from 16 through 22. Hear the words of the Lord. Accept anyone who is weak in faith, but don't argue about doubtful issues. One person believes he may eat anything, but the one who is weak eats only vegetables. And one who eats must not look down on one who does not eat. And one who does not eat must not criticize one who does, because God has accepted them. Who are you to criticize another's household servant? Before his own Lord, he stands or falls, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. One person considers one day to be above another day, and someone else considers every day to be the same. Each one must be fully convinced in his own mind. Whoever observes the day observes it for the honor of the Lord. Whoever eats, eats for the Lord. Since he gives thanks to God, and whoever does not eat, it is for the Lord that he does not eat it. Yet he thanks God also. For none of us lives to ourselves, and no one dies to ourselves. Verse 16 says, therefore, do not let your good be slandered, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever serves Christ in this way is acceptable to God and approved by all. So then we must pursue what promotes peace and what builds up one another. Do not tear down God's work because of food. Everything is clean, but it is wrong for a man or a woman to cause stumbling by what they eat. It is a noble thing not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that makes your brother or sister stumble. Do you have a conviction? Keep it to yourself before God. The man or woman who does not condemn themselves by what they approve is blessed. But whoever doubts stands condemned if they eat, because their eating is not from a conviction. And everything that is not from a conviction is sin. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Father God, again, we want to say thank you for yet another glorious day. We thank you for all of those who are gathered here in your house this morning and across this universe who are gathered in your name. We ask that you would bless us in a special way here on the East Coast, as we've already declared that this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. Lord God, we ask that you would soften our hearts even now, that we might hear what it is that you have to say to all of us. We ask that you would speak powerfully by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that you would make us better people from this point forward. It's in your Son Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. There is indeed to me something that is very pure and very innocent about children. It's something that even if they're blow pops or whatever they are when it comes to children, children really have an attitude of, okay, that's fine, or I really don't care that much, or what time am I going to be able to go home so that I can play? Or what time are we eating? Children really don't take themselves, as we do sometimes as adults, too seriously. Sometimes as parents, you may think that, and I know that my parents have often thought and probably still do, that Cheryl, you don't take some things seriously enough. But in the scripture passage for today, what the Apostle Paul is sharing with the church at Rome is, in essence, don't take yourself too seriously. Because when we begin to take ourselves too seriously, we begin to become prideful. And a lot of times, pride equates with the righteousness of God. And when I say that in a very earthly or worldly or carnal way, to that compared to the awesomeness and the magnitude of the God in which we serve. When I look at these scripture lessons, I always thought that Paul was talking about food and talking about what you drink and not. But what he really was sharing with the Jews of the day and the Gentiles of the day is, don't take yourselves too seriously, because the righteousness of God does not belong to them. It does not belong to me. It doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to any of us. And he gives us this great analogy of what we eat and what we drink. And if I think about, oftentimes we as adults, and particularly Christian adults, we have a lot of problems at times. We have a lot of problems with humbling ourselves because in our hearts there are things that we have yet to resolve. And what we do is project those things that come from our hearts that the scripture tells us are oftentimes evil. We have a habit of projecting those things onto others. In our homes, in our neighborhoods, at work, in restaurants, shopping malls, wherever we are, somehow or some way, we seem to project what it is that we want on the wants and the desires of others. And if we don't get our way, there's somehow and some way that we find a way to project this air of righteousness onto others. Let's listen to what the apostle says. He says, accept anyone who is weak in faith, but don't argue about doubtful issues, what I call our opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, but one who is weak eats only vegetables. Now, the interesting part is that the Jews and the Gentiles were having this discussion. They were having these quarrels because they all were new Christians, if you will, in Rome. The Jews, as we know, had gone through centuries and years of rituals, of ceremonies, of holy days. And then the Gentiles, who were liberated by Christ because they believed in Christ by faith, they were really living carefree. So the Jews, on one hand, were thinking, well, the Gentiles can't just come into what I've been prepared for all of my life. And sometimes those of us who attend church may look at others who don't, or who we may feel don't act the way that we should or act the way that we think they should, then we have this struggle and then we have these quarrels. So the apostle says again, accept anyone who is weak in the faith. That also speaks to those who are new in Christ. There are some of us who were raised up in this congregation as some of the little ones that we saw this morning. But then there are those like me who didn't come to Christ until I was 23 years old. But if you are stronger in the faith and I am weak in the faith, why would any of us want to impose our belief system that are not in line with the word of God and the truth of Christ? Why would we want to impose those or indoctrinate someone who is weak in the faith? He goes on to say, one who eats must not look down on one who does not eat, and one who does not eat must not criticize one who does, because God has accepted them. And there are many things that we get into debates about in the kingdom of God and in the body of Christ that we call the church. We argue about what we wear. We argue about whether or not we smoke, whether or not we drink. We argue about these things that really put things into our heart that are not of Christ. And what the word of God says is this. It says, and I want to read it to you. I'll read it to you from Mark, Jesus's words. I'll read to you what Jesus says. Jesus says in Mark chapter 7, verse 14, he says, you revoke God's word by your tradition that you have handed down. And you do many other similar things. He called the crowd again and said, listen to me, all of you, and understand, nothing that goes into a person from outside can defile them. But the thing that comes out of a person, that is what defiles them. If anyone hears, then they should listen. When he went into the house away from the crowd, the disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, are you also as lacking in understanding, those who are strong in the faith? Don't you realize that nothing going into a man from the outside can defile him? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach and is eliminated. As a result, he made all foods clean. And then he said, what comes out of a person that defiles him? For from within, out of people's hearts come evil thoughts and sexual immoralities, thefts, murders, adulteries, greed, evil actions, deceit, promiscuity, stinginess, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a person. So if we rewind a little bit and think about those times when we try to indoctrinate those who are weak in the faith, why would we do that? Why would we disguise ourselves as, no, this is what you should do and what you shouldn't do? When the truth is that it's the pride in our own hearts, the control in our own lives that we want to press upon another person. The Apostle Paul continues and says, who are you, who are we to criticize another's household? Who are we to criticize the kingdom of God and God's servants? Before his own Lord, they stand or fall, and he will stand, for God is able to make them stand. One person considers one day to be above another day, and then someone else considers every day to be the same. So each one must be fully convinced in their own minds. Why is it that we aren't convinced about the things that really, really matter? The things that say about persons who are new in Christ, or even for some of us who have been walking with the Lord for a while. Why don't we ever have conversations about foundational and fundamental things like the Word of God being inspired? Like the only way to God the Father is through Jesus Christ the Son, through salvation. Why don't we ever have conversations about that and then share with one another our own journeys and our own downfalls and our own setbacks, so that for those who are indeed weak in the faith, we can strengthen them because we're being honest, but not trying to indoctrinate them on what we believe or what we think. Because the righteousness of God, it doesn't belong to me. The apostle goes on and says, whoever observes the day observes it for the honor of the Lord. And whoever eats for the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, and whoever does not eat, it is also for the Lord that he does not eat it, but he gives thanks to God also. So none of us lives to ourselves, and no one dies to themselves. In verse 16, he says, therefore, do not let your good be slandered, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, but peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And if we indeed follow the life of the Spirit, we won't fall prey, as the Word of God says, to the desires of the flesh. If we try to walk in the Spirit as much as we can, we can't do it 24/7. If we were able to walk in the Spirit 24/7, we wouldn't be able to live here on earth. We will have already gone home with the Lord. But the truth is that we can make a pretty good attempt. We don't have to get so caught up into what we believe and what we think that are not locked into the foundational and fundamental truths of the gospel. We don't have to fight about things that are really not necessary. I'm telling you, when I asked the young people a few minutes ago about what big day is coming up, they were right. The big day is coming up is Halloween. For them, the big days that are coming up are Hurricane Sandy. That's a big deal. But in my mind, I was thinking Election Day, because we've been inundated with who's going to win, who's not, who's done a terrible job, who's done a great one. And the truth is that if you are convinced, as Paul says, if you're convinced about it, then vote, cast your vote. But it's nothing that I'm going to lose my place in the kingdom or even my relationship with you as a brother or sister in Christ because we don't agree on the things that matter, but they really don't matter. Because I don't have to take myself too seriously because the righteousness of God doesn't belong to me. Whether it's Romney, whether it's Obama, whether it's whoever it is, this is the day that we all sit together as brothers and sisters in Christ, and this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and we shall be glad in it. And we should carry on each day in the same manner for those who are weak in the faith, and for those who are already established in their faith and still trying to grow. The apostle continues and he says, so then we must pursue what promotes peace and what builds up one another. Do not tear down God's work because of food or silliness or whatever the evil desires in our hearts are. Everything is clean, but it is wrong for a man to cause stumbling by what he eats. It is a noble thing not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that makes your brother or sister stumble. But then he asks a question and he says, do you have a conviction? Then keep it to yourself before God. The man or woman who does not condemn themselves by what they approve is blessed. But Whoever doubts stands condemned if they eat, because eating is not from a conviction. And everything that is not from a conviction is sin. I think it would truly behoove us today to remember as Christians, as those who have professed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, who believe that Christ is indeed coming again for his church and the body of Christ, that we don't get so caught up in having our brothers and sisters stumble about the evil desires that are in our own hearts. I shared with you all before that I was a teacher for 10 years in the Patterson Public School System, and there is a pruning period that goes on with young children, particularly from pre-K or pre-kindergarten through fifth grade. And what happens as a teacher is that you do impress things upon little children, but I don't teach and impress things upon them any way that's going to cripple them for life. I don't impress upon them the things that I just strictly believe. No, I teach them the things that are going to help them in life. And we have to look at those who are new in Christ, those who are new Christians, in the same way. Those of us who've lived for a while, we can always continue to learn. But we should really practice not indoctrinating others with our own belief systems. We should really follow what Paul says. And he says, do you have a conviction? Great. If so, keep it to yourself. If you want to eat meat and just eat, not eat vegetables, or eat vegetables and not eat meat, great. But I'm not going to make you do what it is that I do so that I can have control over you. Because what the Word of God says is that in Christ, we are free. We have liberty. But even in my liberty, I shouldn't be so wayward as to live so freely that I make someone else stumble who's really getting their feet wet and trying to get into this walk that Christ has put us all on the path of. Romans chapter 16, verse 17 and 18 says, now I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause dissensions and obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have learned. Avoid them. For such people do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. They deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting with smooth talk and flattering words. Let us not be those people today. Let us not be the smooth and the flattering talkers. Let us be those who truly live for Christ and who have patience and who have humility, so that no matter what circumstances we are in, we know how to be abased and we know how to be abound. We know how to have and we know how not to have. We know how to sometimes have our own way, and sometimes you're not always going to have your own way, because the righteousness of God doesn't belong to me and it doesn't belong to you. I would like to leave you with the scripture from the writer of Hebrews that says in Hebrews chapter 12, pursue peace with everyone, and holiness without no one will see the Lord. Make sure that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness springs up, causing trouble and by it defiling many. It's easy for us to live by these principles if we truly would just humble ourselves. And when we think too highly of ourselves, think about the purity of our children that says, oh, okay. But also think about the fact that the righteousness of God doesn't belong to any of us. It belongs to God and to God alone. This is the word of God. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we just like to say thank you again for speaking to us from your word. We consider your word, Lord, challenging on this morning. We consider it so challenging, Lord, that it goes in and comes out like a double-edged sword. It gives us a lot to think about. But even now, God, we've already said our prayers of confession, and we are assured by the assurance of pardon. But even in our own hearts right now, we ask you to forgive us if we've ever tried to take on your righteousness as something that belongs to each of us. We ask you to please forgive us and to give us another chance, as we know that you are a forgiving God. But we will not only ask for your forgiveness, we'll make a concerted effort to go forward and to live humbly and to live in this world as your children, who don't consider ourselves weak or strong, but just your children, welcoming in anyone, Lord, who desires to be a part of your kingdom. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.